Greetings again, this is Mark Richardson. I'm a librarian at the Cedar Mill Community Library in Portland, Oregon. And this is the third in the series of our interviews with local immigrants, descendants of local immigrants. These interviews were conducted by students at Sunset High School. And in this particular interview, you're going to hear the story of Kathy Foldis. So enjoy.
My name's Hannah, and I'm a senior at Sunset. What's your name?
My name is Kathy Foldis.
Sure.
And I had a senior at Sunset years ago, yeah.
That's cool. Where did your family come from and what year?
My parents both came from Hungary in 1939.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. But why did they come to Oregon? Like, what was their circumstances?
They didn't come to Oregon, until they came to visit me. They came to New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The reason they came is the rise of Nazism.
Okay.
And they got out kind of on the last boats as teenagers. And they didn't know each other. They met a couple years later. Every country had a quota for exiting, mm-hmm. and if you were Jewish, it was a very small quota.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother fooled her way out. She started taking English lessons about a year and a half before, because the family could kind of see the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took English lessons, and she grew up in a small town. Here's the name of it, Yazbarin. She probably started with her English lessons when she was 14. And she dressed up as if she were wealthy,
mm-hmm.
Had a fur hat and a fancy coat.
Yeah.
And her father kind of got gold coins, and he acted like the big tipper. And they arrived at the U.S. consulate in, the equivalent of a limo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she convinced them that she was a tourist.
Oh.
And from a wealthy family who wanted to improve her English.
Mm-hmm.
But she never had the intent to return.
Yeah.
Except after the war. So that's how she got out.
Oh, really? So did her whole family go with her?
No.
Just her?
Just her. Which was horrible.
Yeah.
And her parents died in the concentration camps. And her brother, who spent 4 years as a Nazi slave, basically, in the labor camps. But he survived. And he eventually got out as well. Oh, here's the day that her parents left her train.
Her parents just couldn't get on the train.
No, they couldn't get a visa.
That's so sad.
I know. Well, they didn't totally know what was coming. But my dad had a different story. He was 18,
mm-hmm.
and his mother saw the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was like, he was like a senior.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to leave. All his friends were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of oblivious to politics.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to kind of force him. And the reason she was able to get in under the quota is the part of the country where she was born. She had moved to Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
But where she was born had been Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And so she was able to get in under the Czech quota, which was bigger.
Okay.
So she basically forced him to go against his will.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he saw that when he got here and the war broke out.
Yeah.
It was a good thing. Yeah.
Was it, like, different when you growing up with, like, parents who, like,
refugees?
Yeah. Did you speak a different language at home, or?
No, I guess I was kind of lucky that way, because I know a lot of kids in my situation were taught the native language first. My parents wanted their children to be Americans, and so they only spoke Hungarian as a secret language, like if they wanted to talk amongst the parents. So I learned some Hungarian that way, but no, I spoke English, but my friends who didn't have refugee parents, it was different. I mean, they just took things for granted, and maybe weren't as motivated in school.
Did they, like, face any differences, or, like any challenges or differences when they got to America?
Yeah, well, first of all, my mother came from this very small town.
Yeah.
And she moved to New York City. So she had to go to high school. So she arrived. Actually, her mother had a sister in New York.
Oh, okay.
She moved in. Her sister had emigrated in the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's too early. Maybe 1910s or something. Anyway, a long time before.
Mm-hmm.
And was quite Americanized, except for the cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and had several grown children and a grandchild that all lived in the same apartment in the Bronx.
Oh.
So she went from this kind of country town, very kind of spacious, to this apartment in the Bronx. It was, there's also some class differences, like her parents were kind of refined, even though her father was a wine merchant. Her uncle was a butcher, a wholesale butcher, and she had to live with the grandchild in the same room. So that was different too, but she loves kids, loved kids, so that was fine. And then she wound up switching high schools, which was pretty brave.
And what was your dad's story? His experience.
I know he got to go to community college for a year.
Okay.
And he had gone to quite a good high school, so he had hoped to be a college graduate, but that didn't happen. They really needed to work. And he got a series of really bad jobs.
Really?
I know he worked in an ice cream factory where he was shredding coconut for coconut-flavored ice cream.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And I know there was a lot of discrimination against Jews at that time. They'd have signs, you know, hiring no Jews apply, things like that.
Even in America?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
It's an ugly chapter in history that actually isn't gone all over the world, you know? My father had this series of jobs, and the war did break out. And they offered, if you join the army, you could get your citizenship faster.
Okay.
So he enlisted. By then, he had met my mother at a poetry reading that was held at the Hungarian Club. So they were, you know, people stuck together by ethnicity. You know. And so they were having this romance. He enlisted, and on one of his leaves, he proposed. And they went to find a justice of the peace, you know, those wartime weddings. So they had one of those wartime weddings, but it was hard to find a justice of the peace. They were, he only had a very short leave. So anyway, there's kind of a funny story about that. But they got married, and then they didn't see each other for 2.5 years. She lived in with her mother-in-law, so started her married life that way. And she was able to work and had a pretty successful business while he was away.
Well, did things change then? When was it different when they came back and they were reunited? Or
She was 19 when they married, and he was like 22. I mean, a couple of years difference at that age is huge.
So your parents always stayed in New York then?
So they visited us every year for about 20 years. I married someone from Oregon.
Oh,
I got here.
Okay, so you ever go back and like visit Hungary?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, in fact, we had one of those like roots tours. Where we met my parents in Hungary. We met them in Budapest. And they took us around all the places. We went to this small town and saw the house where my mother grew up.
That's very cool.
And we visited the memorial. They had put up a memorial for all the Holocaust victims in town. And then in Budapest, where my father was, we saw the temple where he had worshipped as a child. Going with them, it was a visit to 1939. Totally. But luckily, we stayed about 10 days after they left.
Really?
So we could experience what Hungary was like then, which was in the 70s. And I know it's changed a lot since then. I know sort of soldiers standing with rifles. And, you know, the Iron Curtain.
So did you have children? Do they know all your story?
And in fact, my mother wrrote a series of short stories. And that was a good way to preserve the story of how she tricked the American consulate is in there. The story of the train station. The story of what it was like in her small town. How the year went. And the story of how she was chosen to give the speech. Maybe high school, because she didn't stay for high school. And how at the last minute they yanked her because she was Jewish.
Your parents got married. Did you ever feel like, did they ever bring, like, the culture of, like...
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was your food different? Like,
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, my mother cooked American food, but even now, if I need comfort food,
it's you know where to go.
Chicken paprikash.
Oh, what is that?
It's a Hungarian-style chicken.
Oh, yum.
It's very good. I mean, you've heard of goulash, right? No?
No.
It's Hungarian beef stew. It's really good.
Oh, really?
So those are sort of the old standbys. And they cook a lot with cabbage. So
really?
I love cabbage.
Like, what are, like, the main difference between Hungary and, like, America?
Well, it depends what era. Now I understand.
I guess.
Now I understand that it's very Americanized there. I haven't been back, but my children have. Very materialistic.
Okay.
The latest cell phones.
Okay.
But when they were growing up, it was the late Depression. I guess it was the full Depression I grew up through. And it was isolated, landlocked. It was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. So there was an emperor that ruled the whole area, the Habsburgs. So it was really very... formal. I think it was quite harsh. I mean, what I pick up is essential cultural differences, and there's more flair, but there's a harshness to the society from the conditions most people lived in. And it's very cultured. They valued opera and music. It was the same empire that Mozart was part of, Beethoven and all that. So. And the schooling was very formal. I remember my father talking about, you know, getting the knuckles with the roller and how it was them against us, and so the kids would play these pranks on their teachers.
Do you ever feel like...
maybe what you're searching for is this thing a lot of children of immigrants have, where do you belong?
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. And then moving 3,000 more miles made it even more so. And I know that, like, children of military families, there are strengths and weaknesses involved. You know, having to adjust and make new friends and all that. For me, I found it kind of challenging.
Yeah.
But I think I fit into the culture now. I've lived here 35 years.
Did your parents ever, like, when they came to America, were they ever just, like, depressed about, like, what had been going on, or what kind of, like, feelings were they?
During the war, it was horrible. I mean, especially my mother not knowing. She never did get, like, a time and a date when her parents were killed. Just wondering, and, you know, all her high school friends were in the war. I mean, she was the only one who got out. And she would sit around and show me this picture of her farewell party and tell me what happened to each of the people there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was a big topic, but probably not for the first 10 years of my life. But the Eichmann trial happened in 1960, when they caught a Nazi killer, you know, mass murderer, and he was put on trial, and that kind of brought everything out in my family.
Was that, like, did your dad experience the same kind of feelings, or?
It was a little different, because he was there, and he was fighting. So, even though he started in North Africa, and worked his way up the boot of Italy, he finally did get to Hungary, and he was actually able to help. And then the war was just ending, and then people could send him packages. Other Hungarians who'd gotten out sent packages to their family, which they really needed. No one had food, no one had clothing. And when I was growing up, all during my growing up, we would always save a lot of clothing in the basement.
Really?
We collect it from all our neighbors and friends.
Really?
And every once in a while, a big shipment would go back to Hungary because they just didn't have cloth. And especially warm clothes. So sometimes it would just be bolts of cloth, but mostly it was people's used coats and
They need that. Was there like one specific concentration camp in Hungary, or were there
Santa, you'll read the history about this, but all the Jews from many countries were shipped to Poland, where there were 3 million concentration camps.
Okay.
And my grandparents were at Auschwitz, and my mother later learned that my grandfather had survived there and was marched to this other one, and got in the wrong line. And my grandmother was 42.
Really? Did your mom only have one brother then?
Mm-hmm.
And so then he was the concentration camp?
No, he was conscripted because he was 14 then to do labor, forced labor. So he was a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances of survival as a slave were really poor.
Mm-hmm.
But he was sent to the Russian front where almost everybody died. So he managed to survive. He was strong.
So what kind of labor did he have to do?
I'm trying to remember what he said. He was pulling a cart, kind of like being a horse.
Yeah.
Remember that? I don't remember.
Yeah.
He didn't talk about it much.
Yeah.
But it definitely screwed him up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he always was kind of passive. He married this woman who kind of abused him for 34 years till they died. So I think it definitely affected him.
Mm-hmm. Like anyone who was at a war. Was your dad different when he got home from the war?
My mother said he was, but again, it's a critical age where and of course he'd seen a lot of horrible things.
So your dad went to war as a U.S. soldier.
And he got his citizenship that way.
Okay. And how did your mom get her citizenship?
I don't really know. It's an interesting question. Maybe as his wife. She did.
Okay.
Another interesting fact, you've heard of Ellis Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, during high school, imagine that she had to go once a week to Ellis Island. Because Hungary was an enemy country of the U.S. in that war.
Yeah.
And she was the enemy alien.
Oh,
she's a 14-year-old enemy alien. So every week she had to report in for 4 years.
So did she say, I'm here?
I don't know what that consisted of, but I imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show up to prove you're not, lost in the country spying. Whatever. Whatever paranoid thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
How far away was Ellis Island from where she lived?
She lived in the Bronx.
I've never been to New York before.
It's probably an hour each way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's on an island. I mean, you gotta get there by a ferry.
Yeah. So, then, I assume that there was a lot of where there's a good significant amount of people who would have to do that. Then,
I don't. Like I say, the quota was really low, so I don't know how many people did that. It was like the Oregon Trail, only over water with people shooting it.
So then, did she obviously got to America by the boat, right?
Both my parents did.
Yeah.
And my grandmother. Oh, I should tell you about my grandmother. So she had been the daughter of a wealthy family and had never worked in her life and had a maid. Well, she comes over here. She suddenly has to figure out how to make a living. Well, she had a few choices, and I forget what they were, but she chose becoming a beautician.
Your grandma then,
mm-hmm.
she came to America way before the quota?
No, she came under the Czech quota, which was more generous.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was the U.S. that was restricting immigration. They both came over on different boats in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
Father came with his mother, my mother came alone.
Okay.
And they met, I think, a year and a half, maybe 2 years later. She was 17 when they met.
Okay.
She came at 15. So
okay.
They met at the Hungarian Club in New York.
Yeah. did they say, like, any specific lessons they learned from all of this? Or, like, what were their words of wisdom to you?
Well, I remember one message was, you need to be ready to be on your own by the time you're 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was horrible. A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And luckily, I didn't have to be on my own by then. But that's kind of what I remember. And I remember, you know, getting an education. You can go to whatever school you can. We'll make it possible. And so both my brother and I went to really good colleges. Just how I came to be in Oregon, because my first weekend at college.
Yeah.
So I'm 2 hours away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I meet this young man from Portland, Oregon. And we started dating. And 4 years later, we're still dating. And so we had to make a decision.
Yeah, you're out of college.
Well, one other story might be interesting, how history kind of repeats.
Mm-hmm.
So when my husband and I graduated from college, it was during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And
you kept on studying about that, kind
okay.
of.
And you might know that at a certain point in 1970, they started a lottery system.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of antagonism against the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided to do it by lottery, so not all young men would have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ones with low lottery numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what number he got?
A low number.
A low number, number 12.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. So it was a little bit like history repeating itself. Like, here's this war. We definitely don't believe in it. We think the U.S. is wrong. I had been going to the protest rallies in college, and I mean, this was definitely the biggest thing on our minds.
Yeah.
I went to a Quaker college, and so we started attending Quaker meetings.
Yeah.
Quakers are pacifists.
Mm-hmm.
So he became very influenced by this and applied to be a conscientious objector. But plan B was to flee.
So you guys are just saying that get up and leave to Canada?
Uh-huh. A lot like certain people's parents upping and moving to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
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 But luckily, even though he had this low lottery number, since he applied to be a conscientious objector, it threw out the process for more than a year.
So
there was a technicality he got off on if you were eligible for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been refused, by the way.
Really?
And appealed.
Really?
And while his appeal was pending, then the rule came out that if you've been subject to the draft for a year and you didn't get drafted, you were no longer subject. So that's how we got to stay. But he got a job as a conscientious objector in June. In those days, they had a list of, if you got your conscientious objector status, a list of places where you could do service, other service, mostly hospitals.
Okay.
But there was one job that was in engineering, which was his field.
Oh, and that was in Eugene?
It was in Eugene. Very nice. So, and that's how I wound up going to law school, is we were living in Eugene, and I decided to.
What did you do after law school, you and your husband?
Well, we moved to Baltimore so he could get his advanced degree, and then we moved back 2 years later.
Yeah.
We had children. I worked in agency for 3 years, and then I've been in a private contracting kind of practice where I work for other lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since. A long time. I think what my mother got out of this is you can survive anything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my father's still living.
Really?
Yeah. And he has a really good attitude. And occasionally they ask him if he has veterans type speech, which is really great.
Does he live in New York then?
He moved to Florida after my mother died.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, everyone migrates down.
When did your mom die?
Let's see, in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. She died shortly after September 11th. And if you want to hear a funny story about how the opportunities of America, so we'd probably still have lived in an apartment all my growing up in New York City, had not it been for the game shows, the TV game shows.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys went on those?
My mother and her two best friends, who are also Hungarian, also attractive young women,
yeah.
Auditioned for, it was called Break the Bank.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
No.
It was a very popular game show at the time.
Really?
And they got chosen because they were kind of like the DeBoer sisters, you know? And they told them they were sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is really hilarious. They went on this game show, and they thought they were, like, dumb or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of strung them along, and they were cute, you know, with entertainment. So they gave them easy questions, mm-hmm. and then when they wanted them to lose, they gave them a hard question. But
really?
My mother had the answer. It was, what was the capital of Thailand?
Oh.
So, and she knew it.
Yeah.
She got it. So they won this prize, and it was enough money split three ways to pay for a down payment on a house.
Whoa. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's awesome. What happened.
And so then they, so that's how you guys went to New Jersey.
Right.
It's nice talking to you.
Nice, thank you.
Hearing your story. It's very interesting.
Thank you. Thanks for interviewing me, Hannah.
Thanks for meeting me.